Thank you, Everthirst. It's a beautiful song. Well, if you're just joining us for the first time, we are uniquely doing something that is a little bit crazy. We're studying Romans from the end of it back to the beginning of it. And today we find ourselves in one of two of the most popular passages of Scripture in the New Testament. That is in Romans 8. I can remember when I was growing up at Hollywood Presbyterian Church, in fourth and sixth grade, we were given a shield. The first one was bronze, the second one was silver, and the third one was gold as we progressed through those years. And on each shield was about 20 different scripture passages. It started easier with just simple verses, and then it got harder until finally, in our sixth grade, we had to memorize the whole chapter of Romans 8, and we had to do that in front of somebody to get certified so that we could fill that spot and complete our shield for that year. But Paul's letter to Romans is considered one of his theological masterpieces. Along with 1 Corinthians, it is one of the more popular books in the New Testament. And in Romans, there are two major sections. Many scholars would suggest that there is first a theological argument from chapter 1 through chapter 11. And then that there were, what were the ramifications? What were the effect of that argument? And that's from chapter 12 through chapter 15. Well, we've been working our way back. We've been looking at the ramifications of the argument, and now we're going to begin looking at what the argument itself is. It is an appeal by Paul to the Christians at Rome. He's never been there, but he knows so many of them from former works. That tells us a couple of things about that first century mobility. Because to know people thousands of miles away meant you had to have a pretty mobile society. And so as Paul writes to this church, he anticipates going to visit them. And he begins with this exhortation. Today, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters. Exhortation is something like pleading with someone. The word in Greek is parakaleo. It means to beseech or to urge someone. And it is one of the favorite phrases of the Pauline correspondence. And therefore, when he says therefore, he's turning his attention to a new behavior. So as we read that, we're going to listen for that therefore. What comes after that? Therefore, this is what you need to do. And we're going to listen for one other particular phrase, the mercies of God. You know, it's a very uncommon use of the word. Mercy is usually used as a singular. But the Hebrew for mercy was grammatically plural, and maybe that's why. Or maybe Paul meant the many mercies that God has given us, the many do-overs, the many times when he's given us passes, the times when he's smiled on us. That I want you to listen to as we read this letter. Hear the passage, the first eight verses of the 12th chapter of Romans, the word of the Lord. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, squeezed into this world's mold, but be transformed, renewed, changed by renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace that's given us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter in exhortation. The giver in generosity. The leader in diligence. The compassionate in cheerfulness. May God bless the reading of His Word. Will you pray with me? Lord, as I attempt to unpack what I see in this and encourage sisters and brothers during this COVID experience, Lord, open our hearts and minds to each other, mostly to You, God, so that we can walk away stronger as Christians. We can see our identity more clearly. And we can find purpose in the sequestered lives we live. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know the word transformer is used in the electrical world? A transformer is an electrical word to transfer electric energy from one circuit to another, and often that involves a change in voltage or current or phase or whatever. It changes. It adapts. It makes something happen new. That's what a transformer is. The very same is true for lay people in the church. Lay people are very important. The word lay people does not demean a person. It means the body of Christ as we are together, and that's who Paul is talking to. He's talking to the five or six different house churches in Rome. He's heard their stories, and he wants each one of them as lay people to be transformed. You know, sometimes we think transformation is not possible during this COVID time. We're sequestered. We're stagnant. We're not flowing like we usually do. But the turbocharging of Christ that flows into this world because He has risen has done so much in this world to better the world. And especially at restless times when identities are being attacked, people are growling with each other. And we need to reflect on our daily work and discern what it is that gives us a thankful spirit. What it is that makes life interesting, that makes life more than the daily grind, and gives the word vocation to replace the word job in our lives. Because vocation means calling. And Paul gives us that definition, how we should be called. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God. What is the good and perfect will? Paul wants them once again to think about what it'd be like to be transformed in my daily life. How would I change? How would renewing my mind find me in a better place? You see, Paul makes it very clear that each of us have different gifts. He says some are leaders, some are teachers, some are exhorters. You know, ministry is only one of the many gifts that God can give. And it's not, never even been at the top of the list. And add to that this roster of spiritual gifts that are found in Corinthians chapter 12, utterance of wisdom, utterance of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, discernment of spirits, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues, all are different gifts. You know, sometimes I get a little frustrated with the word layperson. It seems kind of lame. Because when you're called by God to transform the world, there's nothing simple about that. And unfortunately, sometimes the word lay can be translated to mean we're amateurs at something. You ask the doctor to express her medicalese in terms that a lay person can understand. That means we're acknowledging that when it comes to medicine, we're idiots. And that's the way we often read the Apostle Paul, as though Romans is the theological equivalent of an idiot's guide to ministry. But do you know the word laity, the lay person, that many of you are familiar with if you've ever been a part of a church? It's if someone's a lay electrician, they might be able to change a light switch, but you don't want that person to be anywhere near high voltage. If a person is a lay plumber, you might let them clean your drain, but you don't want them to do much more to the pipes. You see, the truth is, for ministry, for the Christians, ministry is baked into the very fiber of our lives. It's called a discipleship program. You learn and share, you give and take, you bring in together. In other words, like Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. For you, the will of God may be daily serving the U.S. Postal Service around the lines that Kevin Fletcher does in Newhall, delivering our mail each day, even in the summer heat. Or any number of our school teachers who are having to adapt to teaching online and teaching their classes through Zoom and other venues to our children and youth, which can be a totally frustrating experience for both the teachers and the students. Or any of the valuable occupations to which each one of us is called. But just think of the body of Christ for a second. Maybe your call is to be an architect or a florist like Jackie Johnson. Jacqueline Johnson comes and sets this communion table for us, makes sure it's looking beautiful. So weekly when you watch it, you can do that. You can enjoy the beauty of this moment. Or perhaps you like to play music like Everthirst to praise God and to lead us. You see, many people are using their gifts for God. Or perhaps you're called to keep this facility going, along with our Buildings and Grounds Committee, whose elders are Jim Combs and Kevin Fletcher. And as we regularly see, are along with Steve Fuller and Bob Balcom, or Don Trammell, Dave Moore, Ken Craig, Shane Sindel, and the many other people who volunteer to clean this place, to keep it going, even during this COVID experience when not many people are using it. Or how about our deacons, Their moderator, Pam Jenner, is leading our deacons in reaching out to each person who presents themselves as a member of our church family here, and even some who do not but are relatives of our church families. My deacon, Kevin Johnson, reaches out to me with a note every week telling me what's coming up in worship. I hear that the whole deacon board is doing that. And indeed, they continue to look for needs that people are wanting to be met. And they do so by delivering cards or letters, gifts of cookies, or delivering meals to someone. And how about our church children's and youth ministries? They're led by our elders in children, Emily Moore, and in youth, John Howell. And they are helping our children's director, Leela Meadows, and our youth director, Bryce Morrow and Sam Warren, to help be creative during this time. That's the toughest gig for teenagers who want to be together, to be a part in a Zoom meeting. But we had creatively did a drive-by vacation Bible school, and we continue to keep in touch with the families and are looking for ways creatively to minister. Our church committee, led by Larry Earhart, continues to reach beyond our boundaries as a church, into our community and into our world, with resources that we can provide to help, with involvement that we can give to help change the world. Or how about our adult ministries, led by our elder Darren Meadows and Becca Crenier? They continue to offer 4 or 5 weekly Bible studies in Zoom and to reach people. And we've got incredible teachers in this church like Jack Irwin and Roland Wrinkle. And our women's circles continue to meet in parks. And they're all feeding one another on the Word of God and on the relationship. Our stewardship and finance committee that's led by Sue Stanger are busy creatively planning our new stewardship drive. We know this year it'll probably be by Zoom. So we're looking at how to protect our finances, care for our facilities. The committee takes it seriously and partners with Little Shepherd Nursery School, led by Sherry Tayes, which has recently and creatively adapted and opened in a very unique and special way, sanctioned by social services. Sherry told me she even had the social services come out and visit her the day before and go through all the protocols. And the kids are loving it. Our worship and music committee, led by Kathy Craig and Pam Coons, continue to monitor what we are doing and continue to review and look for how and when we can return to have safe worship together with one another. Our outreach committee, that's led by Teresa Howell, who communicates through our newsletter and through the many other venues of communication, including John Favalesa, who changes our sign regularly out front so that the community can laugh a little bit with us but can also get signs of hope and humor. Our personnel committee, with elders Jim Lynn and Rusty Parr, are continuing to monitor the legal and social aspects of our situation. Our nominating committee is led by Pam Coons and Larry Earhart, and is continuing to look for future leaders of the church. The church work goes on. The church life committee, led by Patrick Stokes, is particularly hamstrung during this time because everything they do is bringing people together. But creatively, they're trying to think, how can we do this in another way? And during this COVID crisis, our session has elected Rusty Parr to form a new team to continue to look at how and when our church can safely open. And Jan Fraser, who's the moderator of our session, keeps in touch with everyone and what we're accomplishing. And she continues to lead a team that works on creating a monthly newsletter so that we each can be fed by one another. Now, all of those jobs, all of those gigs are the will of God. Paul is talking about serving with the gifts you are given. Paul is talking about the fact that every one of us who are committing our lives to Christ are being transformed to transform the world in many different ways and many different ideas. And almost anything can be a calling. Almost anything you can dream of doing that's good in this world, you can do good for God. That's what he's saying. So the whole term laity, which comes from the Greek word laos, which simply means people, are the people of God. Remember the old adage? Here is the door and here is the steeple. Open the door and see all the people. The people are what matter in the church. The laos of God. You are part of that. Your call, wherever you are and with whatever your gifts you're given, is to be a transformer. To transform the evil, the sad, the tired in this world to the joy, peace, and security of God. And so, my friends, Paul urges you to be faithful, to be alert, to be a transformer wherever you are. Amen.
Amen.